Okay, the book of Jeremiah today. And we come to Jeremiah chapter 41. And we begin in verse 1. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethanah, the son of Elishama, of the royal family and of the officers of the king, came with 10 men to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, at Mizpah. And there they ate bread together in Mizpah. Well, this visit to the governor, Gedaliah, occurred 3 months after Babylon destroyed Jerusalem. Verse 2, then Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men who were with him, arose and struck Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, with the sword, and killed him, whom the king of Babylon had made governor over the land. And so they pretended to be the governor's friend, and then, without warning, they murdered him. Now, remember, Gedaliah was warned of this, and he just said, nah, that isn't going to happen. No one's trying to kill me. Verse 3, Ishmael also struck down all the Jews who were with him, that is, with Gedaliah at Mizpah, and the Chaldeans who were found there, the men of war. Now there's going to be trouble. Because not only did they kill these Jews, renegades, kill the governor who Babylon established over the land, but they killed some Babylonians who were there as well. These assassins murdered anyone who could avenge the death of the governor. Verse 4. And it happened on the second day after he had killed Gedaliah, when as yet no one knew it, that certain men came from Shechem, from Shiloh, and from Samaria, 80 men, with their beards shaved and their clothes torn, having cut themselves with offerings and incense in their hand to bring them to the house of the Lord. Well, here we have some Israelites. They come to Jerusalem with offerings. They know the holy temple is gone, destroyed by Babylon. But they come to pay their respects to God and to what was once there, and that was the holy temple and the worship of God. Verse 6. Now Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, went out from Mizpah to meet them, weeping as he went along. And it happened as he met them that he said to them, come to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam. Well, the ringleader of the murderers, Ishmael, pretends to welcome these worshipers. He comes out crying like he's so happy to see them. Come and see Gedaliah. Too bad he murdered Gedaliah. Of course, he's up to no good. Verse 7. So it was, when they came into the midst of the city, that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, killed them and cast them into the midst of a pit, he and the men who were with him. And so once Ishmael gets these men into a confined place, and they can't run away, he murders them. Verse 8. But 10 men were found among them who said to Ishmael, do not kill us, for we have treasures of wheat, barley, oil, and honey in the field. So he desisted and did not kill them among their brethren. These people knew that Ishmael would not spare them out of mercy, but if he could get something out of the deal, that would be a different story. And sure enough, he did. He did spare them. Verse 9, now the pit into which Ishmael had cast all the dead bodies of the 10 whom he had slain because of Gedaliah was the same one Asa, the king, had made for fear of Baasha, king of Israel. Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, filled it with the slain. Then Ishmael carried away captive all the rest of the people who were in Mizpah, the king's daughters, and all the people who remained in Mizpah, whom Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had committed to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam. And Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, carried them away captive and departed to go over to the Ammonites. Now, those who were not a threat to these murderers, including Ishmael, were spared. They were taken away alive to be sold as slaves to the Ammonites. And of course, the Ammonites are the ones, remember, who sent Ishmael to kill this governor in Israel. Verse 11. But when Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him heard of all the evil that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had done, and so word got out, and these soldiers had been captive, or I should say captains, under the king Zedekiah before Israel was conquered. So they're kind of out and about, scattered around, and they hear that the governor was killed by these renegades and on behalf of Ammon. So it says in verse 12, they took all the men and went to fight with Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and they found him by the great pool that is in Gibeon. So it was, when all the people who were with Ishmael saw Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces who were with him, that they were glad. Well, the captives were glad because seeing Johanan and his forces, they have hope of being saved before they're sold as slaves. And notice what they do in verse 14. Then all the people whom Ishmael had carried away captive from Mizpah turned around and came back and went to Johanan, the son of Kareah. So they took off. These captives took off in the direction of those who had come to deliver them. 15. But Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, escaped from Johanan with 8 men and went to the Ammonites. The assassins were doing the work of the Ammonites when they killed the governor. So these survivors, led by the leader, Ishmael, hightail it back to Ammon. 16. Then Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him, took from Mizpah all the rest of the people whom he had recovered from Ishmael the son of Nethaniah after he had murdered Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, the mighty men of war, and the women, and the children, and the eunuchs, whom he had brought back from Gibeon. And they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is near Bethlehem, as they went on their way to Egypt, because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them, because Ishmael the son of Nethaniah had murdered Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon had made governor in the land. And so these survivors of Ishmael's evil, including Johanan, they were afraid that Babylon would blame all the Israelites for the death of Gedaliah, who Ishmael had murdered. And so they're afraid of Babylon. They're afraid to go back to Jerusalem. They're afraid of being in the presence of any Babylonians. Let's go into chapter 42. Then all the captains of the forces, Johanan, the son of Kareah, Jezaniah, the son of Hashaiah, and all the people from the least to the greatest came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet, "Please, let our petition be acceptable to you, and pray for us to the Lord your God for all this remnant, since we are left but a few of many, as you can see." In other words, these survivors say, "We're in hot water, Jeremiah, so we want you to pray." They didn't really do anything wrong, but they aren't sure that Babylon will not see it that way. And so it says in verse 3, "That the Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk and the thing we should do, Well, they had not sought the will of God earlier. And that was the reason, part of the reason, why the country was in such a mess. But they've seen all the horror which occurs when one tries doing things their own way. And as a result, they want to know what God wants. At least they say they do. Verse 4. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, I have heard indeed. I will pray to the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall be that whatever the Lord answers you, I will declare it to you. I will keep nothing back from you. Well, you know, God doesn't promise to answer our prayers the way we want to, the way we want Him to. And likewise, God's preachers, if they are faithful, will tell the truth whether it is pleasant or not. And Jeremiah promises that he will do that. Verse 5. Then they said to Jeremiah, let the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us if we do not do according to everything which the Lord your God sends us by you. So, they very boldly, and I would say brashly, say, we'll do everything. Jeremiah, just seek the Lord on our behalf, and, you know, whatever He says, that is what we will do. It is dangerous to make a rash promise to God if you're not dead serious about following through. They said they would do whatever God said, but they really had not counted the cost of obedience. Actually, they had not even considered obeying if it was contrary to what they want. Verse 6. It says, whether it is pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Well, they are right about one thing. To get God's blessing, we must obey. 7. And it happened after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Then he called Johanan, the son of Kareah, all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest. Each one will be held accountable for obeying God. So Jeremiah wants to make sure that each one hears the word of God for themselves. 9. And said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition before him. Just a reminder that Jeremiah will not be giving his opinion. Jeremiah will be declaring the pure word of Almighty God. 10. If you will still abide in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I relent concerning the disaster that I have brought upon you. In other words, God is not happy that He had to punish His people. Consequently, He tells this remnant that He will bless them if they stay in Israel. Because you see, they don't want to, because they are afraid of Babylon. Verse 11, do not be afraid of the king of Babylon. This is God still speaking to them. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not be afraid of him, says the Lord, for I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. They were afraid that the king of Babylon would blame them and kill them because of the death of Gedaliah, the governor. And so their instinct was to run away, but God's word to them was, stay put and trust me. Verse 12, and I will show you mercy, that he may have mercy on you and cause you to return to your own land. In other words, be where God wants you to be and do what God wants you to do, and you will be blessed the best that you can possibly be blessed, given the hand that you are dealt. Verse 13, Verse 13 says, but if you say, we will not dwell in this land, disobeying the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go to the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor be hungry for bread, and there we will dwell. Then hear now the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces to enter Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall be that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. The famine of which you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there you shall die. So shall it be with all the men who set their faces to go to Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the disaster that I will bring upon them. If they obey God, then none of what they fear will come upon them. If they disobey God out of fear, then all that they fear will come upon them. The choice is theirs. Verse 18, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and my fury have been poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so will my fury be poured out on you when you enter Egypt, and you shall be an oath of astonishment, a curse and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. Jerusalem was destroyed because of their previous sin, and because of the sin of all Israel. And if this remnant sin by running off to Egypt, their fate will be worse than Jerusalem's. That's God's warning to them. 19, the Lord has said concerning you, O remnant of Judah, do not go to Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. In other words, it would be a sin to go to Egypt because they know God said, do not go to Egypt. 20, for you were hypocrites in your hearts when you sent me to the Lord your God, saying, pray for us to the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord your God says, so declare to us, and we will do it. They were hypocrites, Jeremiah said, meaning this, they had already decided to run off to Egypt. They had just hoped that God would say, go with my blessing, but they had no intention of doing what they said, and that would be to obey God no matter what. 21, and I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God or anything which he has sent you by me. And they were despising God with their willful disobedience. Now therefore, know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence in the place where you desire to go to sojourn. They have chosen a life of sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. They will die in their sin down in Egypt. And we'll pick it up next time in chapter 43. Until then, so long, everyone.